Turning your Bibles with me this morning to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Find Ezekiel, then go a little further and you'll find Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. As I prayed my prayer this morning a few minutes ago, today we'll conclude our series that we've been preaching on our faith when it's under fire. I don't really like to start on a negative note, but we don't have a lot of faith when we're not willing to stand for what's right. And sooner or later, as a Christian, your faith will come under fire. It came, mine did, for guess who? My own siblings and people that knew me. I thought everybody would just rejoice and jump up and down because I got saved. But that wasn't what it was. More and more all the time, Christians, those whose lives are counting for the Lord, and you follow what I'm saying? Their faith is coming under fire. In more ways we even want to think about. But if we were to give this a title this morning, we would just call it Faith When Others Are Against Us. And we have a very good example of this here in Daniel chapter 6. And here was a man that would just wanted to do the right thing, and he didn't even let the king intimidate him. Let's read the first three verses here as we begin this morning. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three, presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Of course, our captives are here, that is Daniel and his friends in Babylon. And here was a man that, because he was doing the right thing, chose to reject the king's food and his beverages. And of course, that didn't really go over well. Of course, you know, Daniel was used of God to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dreams in chapters 2 and 4 of this same book. And of course, in chapter 5, he predicted Belshazzar's death. Of course, Belshazzar asked. Daniel told him. You see, kings and kingdoms fall. God's servants continue. They do. They should. Okay, you know why Darius did this for Daniel or wanted him to do this? Because he simply saw, as we read there in verse 3, he saw that Daniel was different. Your family, my family, your neighbors, whoever, your co-workers, your schoolmates, whoever it is, you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're living for him like you should, they'll see a difference. They know you're different. Something about you. Of course, the day and age we're living in, you know, you're just bucking the norm. You just don't fit the mold. And as a result, I was telling someone the other day, you know, and I'm aware of it, and I'm not going out of my way. I'm not carrying around, you know, a club and inviting people to fisticuffs and all that kind of thing. But I've come to realize here in the last, well, I don't know how long it's been, but I don't fit in this society. I'm a nonconformist. And you're in trouble as a Christian, as a Bible believer, if you're going to try. Now, I try to get along with everybody. But there's some things where we're going to have a difference if it involves my faith in Christ and my living for God and doing the right thing. There's going to be a problem. And I'll try to settle it the best way I can with the Word of God. I believe that God looks very seriously on a person that is a compromises. That's a big word for not standing for the truth, not doing what we should do for God. I say it so many times, and I'll say it again. I don't think there's ever been a day that God is depending on His children like He is today. Wherever you are, wherever you live, people ought to know. That's where the people live. Their name is Galentine. They go to church every Sunday. I mean, I think they almost camp out over there. They just stay at church. They're there all the time. Nobody can say anything better about you. You're faithful. I think it's a wonderful testimony when your family gets up on Sunday mornings and you come out and you're going to church. I'm going to say something. It's not popular, but I'm going to say it. Dress like you're going to church. It's the house of God. We're coming here to worship Him. Now, let me say it again. If you have an audience with the president, you're not going with your flip-flops and your blue jeans on. Say, what's wrong with that? I think we go to the house of God. My philosophy has been all these years, you ought to wear your best. Wear your best and go worship God. Okay? That wasn't even planned in the message. That's no charge for that. Okay? Folks, right is right and wrong is wrong. Period. But here with Daniel, after Darius saw that he was different, the king sensed there was an excellent spirit, the Bible says, in Daniel. And as a result, he made Daniel top man. Yeah. Had you rather be top in the world's estimation or top in God's army? Quiet. But as this story goes on, the plot, you might say, thickens. It thickens. Everybody didn't look up on Daniel like that. And there was some disagreements with the king. You see, you and me, Christians, people that the world would call a faith today, see, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're not always popular. We're not always popular. I want to get along with everybody, don't you, Jay? I do. I want to get along with everybody. And it's hard to get along with Jay, but you know, by the grace of God, we can do that. You know, we can do that. I believe one of the greatest needs in America is for God's people to live like God's people and do what God's people do. This is what Daniel was doing. Exactly. Matter of fact, he was threatened. If they caught him praying, now what would you do? Somebody says, we catch you praying one more time. We're going to put you, you're under surveillance, and we even see you bow your head. There's going to be a price to pay. I wonder how many of us will keep bowing our heads. Folks, I'm trying to be real with you this morning. I'm not trying to be antagonistic. I'm not trying to, God help me to never preach with an attitude. But we have some good things here in this chapter about the character, the deportment, that's the behavior of God's people. And Daniel's a good example. He's a good example. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Boy, that's something now. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Nothing bad could be said about this man. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're going to, we'll get this thing planned out. Well, verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save the king, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You know, we have things similar to that going on as I preach this message. And I'm not going to go into that. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, after church, ask me and I'll tell you. Okay? These other princes and presidents despised Daniel. Your Christian faith in the United States of America is under attack like it's never been under attack. Where you work, where you go to school, and everything you do, you're being scrutinized. I don't know about you. I'm a man, and I'm still going to use the man's room. And you're a lady, you use the lady's room. Am I coming across? Somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to say something. My dad taught me I'm a country boy's rear. I was taught not run. I want to be a Daniel. I want to be a child of God. I want to be obedient to the one that's died for me and saved me. And do it as lovingly and as kind and as compassionately as I know how, but yet not compromise what I know God's word says to me. Serving God. Now I want you to get that phrase right there. Serving God. You got that? Serving God has always been costly. Always has been. What did Paul say? Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's still in the Bible. Still there. Prophets in days gone by, they've been ignored, jailed, or stoned. John the Baptist was jailed and beheaded. Paul was jailed and martyred. All the apostles were martyred except John, who was exiled. Just simply because of their stand for Christ. That's all. That's all. Jesus warned his disciples of rejection by the world, John chapter 15. They rejected Jesus, did they not? Sure did. Christians have suffered for their faith for centuries. Read some early history about Christians. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Death Among the Catacombs. You find those books and you read those and see what early... And all they were doing was living their faith. But it bucked the system. It was in opposition to what someone, it was agnostic and didn't know God wanted, and they wouldn't compromise. It cost them their life. Let me ask you something this morning, Christian. Will your faith hold up under persecution? Will you remain faithful and true to God if you're singled out and because of what you believe and what you do and the way you're rearing your family? Would it stand? Would you stand? Our message today, faith when others are against us. People of faith are not always popular. Remember, too, the presidents, these presidents and princes here, and we see their plot. Now, I've read most of the verses. I don't think I read verses 8 and 9, but notice here, we'll go on. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. See, Daniel's enemies searched for a flaw. They searched for something. They searched for a crutch, some reason that they could use to get at this man. I look at verse 10, one of my favorite verses in the whole chapter. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he tucked his tail and he ran out where nobody could find him. That ain't what it says, is it? That's not what it says. And he didn't say, okay, all right, all right, all right. I'll go along with you. No, he didn't do that, did he? When he heard it, knew the writing was signed, I'll continue, he went into his house. Now, most Christians probably would have hid to pray. He opened the window so folks could see. I don't know if that was his motivation or not. Windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, like he had always done. Folks, I can suggest that we just keep on doing what we've always done. Doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. Rearing our children right. Yeah. Just keep on doing the right thing. But as we do the right thing, we're going to run into somebody like Darius or some of his cohorts somewhere, sometime. Last day's perilous time shall come. I don't mean to be pious, but I pray every day of my life, God is my witness, that he'll keep a hedge about this church and keep the devil out of here and keep us close-knit together. And God will add here those he'd have here to serve him and live for him, but help this church and people to be standing true and firm on the word of God when the trumpet sounds. And if we do anything less, we're not doing what God said do. Now, I'd rather do what God said do and it costs me, regardless of what the cost is, than to compromise and God withdraw his blessings from me. Don't you feel like that? Nobody wants trouble. I don't want any trouble. But I tell you what, in some ways you mess this old country boy and you'll get the flesh riled up in him. I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to do that. And by the way, I always want to do what God would have me to do. Anything less, he can't bless it. I take things in my hands. I pay the price and God didn't have anything to do with it. Of course, I refer to it as righteous indignation. They could find no fault in this man. What a credit this is to a faithful man of God or a woman of God. Living right, doing right. Reminds us of Pilate's conclusion about the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He said, I find no fault in him. That's what he said. The only opening for Daniel's enemies was that they knew he was a man of faith. We have in this nation, and I'll be vague about this, but you'll know who it is that's causing more trouble in our nation. And in our nation's population, they only make up about 3%. And they're causing more turmoil and problems in this country than any other thing you can mention. Three percent. By the year 2020, I heard on Paul Harvey back before the turn of the century, he said by the year 2020, the population of Christians in the United States will be only 2%. We're 4 years away. 2%. 2%. It's been decreasing down through these years. Well, as that does, what else has taken over? It's called evil. Evil. Ungodliness. People of perverted minds. And that's what you're seeing in our nation today. Brother Galantine, I'm not going to get up one morning and say, you know what? I'm a woman. You know something? No offense to you ladies, I don't want to be a woman. You want to be a woman, Brother Malik? I don't. Mm-mm. I don't want to be a woman. Sister, you're not going to wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm a man. I'm happy with the way God made me. God's never made a mistake. It's a warped, ungodly minds of men that are doing what's being done in this nation. Our faith is being torn at. What are we going to do? Are we going to stand? And one of your sons or daughters comes to you one day and says, I'm just the opposite. I'd take them in the house, into the bedroom, and take a board of education and apply it to that which would be the same as long as they lived. I'm not joking. This is so ungodly. And we need to understand it's ungodly. We need to understand that it's tearing at our faith and destroying our families and our churches. God help us not to bow. I don't have an axe to grind. God gave me this. This is the last message in our faith being under fire. You don't have to do much when it comes to wrong to get me stirred up, but God help me. I know I need God, the Holy Spirit. But sometimes God, the Holy Spirit, lays on men's hearts, God's men, to preach what needs to be preached, whether it's popular or not. Brother Gherkin, I'm sure that along with you were in the military, you wanted to be a good soldier, didn't you? Ready? Brother? Wanted to be a good soldier. You didn't want to be a sissy. And all of us that were in the military, we wanted our country and our nation, our families, to be able to depend on us. I heard a sad story. I didn't know it on Memorial Day. Oh, my. This chaplain. You all might have heard this. It was one of the talk shows in the morning. This chaplain sent this talk show host an email. I sat in my car and cried like a baby. The host on the radio cried, and he wasn't putting them on. Tech sergeant, and I don't remember his name. 2 weeks before time to come home. And this chaplain, who sent this man the email, got with one of the commanding officers and then went to this home. Did you hear it?
Yes, sir.
He pulled up in the yard, and here are the kids. There's six kids. Oldest, I believe, was 13. Out playing, having a good time. 2 weeks, Daddy was coming home. They sat in the car, the chaplain, and the man's with him, and they cried before they went to the door. Finally, they said, look, we've got to do it. We've got to get it over with. It says that the woman saw the men coming, and she knew. She just knew it wasn't good. I won't try to go into the nth details, but anyway, she opened the door, gave her the bad news that her husband, those kids' daddy, wouldn't be coming home. Then she brought all the children in one at a time and set them down and told them their daddy wouldn't be coming home. You know what their husband and those kids' daddy were doing? Fighting for our freedoms. Tried to help someone else and paid the ultimate price. Thank God for men that'll still fight. You remember what Paul said? I fought a good fight. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. If you're looking for him, I think that's a good motivation, one of the best, to be sure that we are living like we're looking for him. You know, you're expecting company at the house, you clean things up, right? If you and I are expecting the Lord to come, we'll have a clean life. We're expecting the commander-in-chief to come at any minute. Daniel was a man, and here is something. I could just take a rest of time. I could preach other messages, but I won't. Daniel was a man, as we read there in verse 10, he was a man of prayer. Mom, Dad, young people, there's never been a day that we need to pray more than we are now than it is now. Prayer, oh my. And he was a man of prayer. Not only just one time a day, not just two times a day, but three times a day prayed. Three times a day. We think if we pray two or three minutes first thing in the morning or sometime during the day, that's fine, it's okay. Oh, how we need to pray. But they would find a way to persecute him for praying. That's what they talked about. For 30 days especially. I don't believe that Daniel hesitated. I don't believe he said anything to Mrs. Daniel or whoever. I don't think he said anything to anybody. He just kept doing what he had always done, and he went to that upper room and he opened those windows toward Jerusalem and he prayed three times a day regardless of the decree. That's what he did. Man of prayer. And if he did do what he did, he was going to be put in a den of lions. Only good line I've ever seen is one was at a distance or on a movie. Yeah. They knew Daniel. Now, I don't know if you thought of that this or not. They knew, even the king, let's look at verse 16. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver thee. Now I've got to confess something. Sometimes this cavity up here on my shoulder is called a brain. Sometimes it just don't, somehow. Yours ever do that? Never does that. Okay. I always thought that Darius was making fun of Daniel and said, it's okay, don't worry about it. God, your God, he'll answer your prayer, but he wasn't. I don't believe he was. He knew in the very beginning that God would answer that man's prayer. Why did he know that? Why did he know? He hadn't prayed these three times here in verse 10 yet, but why did he know that? Because of the way Daniel carried himself. He knew that Daniel knew God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He knew that. He knew that. Oh, yeah. He knew that Daniel would keep on petitioning God. And then last of all, faith always finds help in prayer. Wowee. I believe I'm preaching today to some people that pray. I believe you're a praying woman. I really do. I'm looking at other praying women up here. I believe you pray. And men, I believe you pray. For God's sake, don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. I'm looking at people out here pray. I know you do. I've known you a long time. I know you pray. Keep it up. Don't stop. In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, you shall receive. You believe that? Call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Yes. And others, there's others. Let's go to verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep went from him. He couldn't sleep a wink. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Now notice, then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. I read where one fellow said that God put a millennialized spell on those lions. Gave them lockjaw, and they were just like little tame kitty cats. Didn't hurt Daniel at all, did nothing to hurt him. I'll tell you something else. Who is it walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Who is that? You think if you pray, God can keep Satan away from you? I know he can. No doubt in my mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Daniel just kept on praying. Prayed with his window open. He didn't go in secret and pray. Darius put him in the den of lions. Yeah, Darius had confidence in Daniel's prayers. They'd deliver him. Triumph follows trials, folks. You know that? Or let me say, victory follows trials. I've been through a few. I'm talking to people, preaching to people this morning. You've been through a few. Aren't you glad you hung in there? Aren't you glad you stayed faithful to the Lord? I'm talking to some, but probably you didn't stay as faithful as you should. You got away from the Lord and out of church, but God broke your heart and you came back. Aren't you glad you came back? Folks, when you're doing the right thing, there's no reason to quit. There's no reason to make a left turn or a right turn. Stay on the path that God leads us in. You know and I know. I'm not talking to anybody in this room today that lacks some gray matter up here. I'm not talking to anybody stupid. Listen to me. If the Lord tarries, is coming, our faith is coming under fire. You mark it down. It's coming. It is coming. If for no other reason, because you're doing right. You need to pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your church, pray for your pastor. I just want to win souls to Christ. Baptize them so they, you know, I just want to serve the Lord. But you know, Jesus and his disciples came under fire. Why should we think that we're going to escape that kind of thing? Why should we even think it? Now, honestly, I pray God will keep evil away from me and our church. I believe there's others here this morning. You do the same thing. But the devil's on a rampage. You know that, and I know that. So when your faith comes under fire, because others take exception to what you're doing, and they're against us, don't quit. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on. Just keep on going. Let's bow our heads, please.